Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve and your midweek political check-in. Broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform, we're slogging through another political swamp thick with nonsense and bad intentions. Let's cut through the poo-poo and throw a little light on the chaos before it buries us all. We don't care if you chew gum during the podcast, but no blowing bubbles. All righty then, without further ado, here's Nick and Bubbles. Steve. Holy moly. Take it away, gentlemen.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. It's Steve Harness broadcasting live from Michigan, somewhere in a remote area that will remain unnamed. But here we are for the podcast, your midweek political check-in. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, y'all.
It's all correct. Can you hear me okay? Hello, hello, everybody.
Yeah, I can hear you. Perfect. You sound good.
Yeah, hi, everyone. I'm broadcasting from rural Michigan from the home of a Trump supporter, so don't tell anyone.
You are?
I am, yes.
Wow. Do they know what you're doing in there, or are you kind of
nope.
Anne Franking it?
I Anne Franking it. I'm literally in a loft above the garage. So, you know, I'm from Michigan, and so is Kennedy, my girlfriend. So we're back here for the holidays, and we're on this side of the state for her family. And yeah, they're letting us borrow one of their houses. The Trumpers are all showing up in an hour for dinner, but they don't know that I'm up here doing a progressively liberal hippie podcast.
Wow. That is something, dude. Well, good. I'm glad. Any way we can get it out to the people, Steve. Any way
right.
We can do it.
Yeah. Right. Well, we weren't able to do a show last Friday, and that was a bummer. So this is officially our last show of 2025.
Holy crap, dude. How many has it been? Do we have any idea, or is that an unknown large number?
278, give or take.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. That's all part of the fight back, the resistance. I mean, we're doing what we can.
Fuck yeah. And I know I got a weird background and camera setup going on, but yeah, this is as good as it gets. So I'm glad we could do what we could do. And 2025, quite frankly, Nick, a banner year for Really American and for the Vocal Minority joining.
Yeah, 100%. Thus far, it's been a joy. I mean, there's been, with anything comes some growing pains, but finding our spot here on the channel and seeing the numbers tick up, dude, is unbelievable as we approach 1 million subscribers.
Yes. Anybody watching right now, if you have not hit subscribe, seriously, help us out. We're going to hit 1 million as we roll into the new year, but that's a whole new game. 2026 midterms. And, big year for all of us. And I think we're going to do a little year in review of Trump shenanigans and then maybe get to some actual current events, too.
Yeah. No, I think it's important that we look back. As we started going over this list, dude, it was so crazy because I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. There were so many on here that I was like, oh, shit, that was only 6 months ago. I completely forgot about that. And that is the plan of Project 2025 in this administration to, just kind of make us forget about all the shit that we're outraged by because they replace it with new shit we're outraged by on a daily basis.
Spot on. Yeah. No, it's an overwhelming news cycle, and that's definitely part of the plan. And, yeah, I was looking through the list, and on one level, I was kind of proud. Like, some of the headlines, they just gave a brief summary. I was like, I know exactly what they're referring to because we've been covering every aspect of this. Even right. though we joined Really American in April, Nick and I have been doing this for eons. So,
yeah
it's. I think it's good to recap as far as the magnitude of it all and a reminder of it all because it is easy to forget. Well, it was easy to forget what happened a week ago, you know?
100%, dude. It's, so it's good to do a little check-in here, and I'm glad we're going to be doing that. We do have some video to go along with the article, but, you know, because this happens so quickly, this news cycle, this article just comes out, and, we only have a little while to gather some of this stuff. So I've got some video to go along with some of these items, and some of it we'll just have to dig deep into our minds to remember.
Yes, please. And if I pass out during the show, it's about 38 degrees in this garage I'm in right now.
So. God, dude. I was worried about that. It's cold as shit in Seattle, too. And luckily, I've got the space heater going. So
I've
I
got
feel
one
for
as well.
You.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's a high of 22 here today. So, yeah, fun
oh,
stuff.
Oh, boy. Yeah. All
I think
right.
I should roll the sleeves down. I was trying to be fashionable, but no one can see it. So.
Yeah. Oh, I can see. I can see. You're looking good, dude. You're looking good. You got that little American flag in the background.
Right.
And thanks for joining the chat. Really American platform right here on YouTube is where we've been doing our podcast live from. So, yeah, there are some people jumping in the chat here, and we'll get to some of those comments. But let's dive into a little review and some news.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Just to make us feel welcome, Nick. I love white people. I love all y'all. Thank you. Us white people love all you, too. I don't know what you are, but we love you, no matter what you are.
Well, I think J.D. Vance told us last week sometime that we don't have to apologize for being white in America anymore. So there is that.
No. And we found out you and I, as white men, can be part of a class action lawsuit through the Trump regime, because we've been discriminated against long enough.
Yeah, 100%.
God damn it.
Wow. Even when I'm saying it in jest, my wife is making a face, you know, and and just like shaking her head. She's like, you have no idea.
No, of course not. Remember, everyone, white privilege does not mean that white men get some inherent advantage. It means we don't have a disadvantage, which could be seen as an advantage. So,
yeah, exactly.
It helps us out. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
Did we rewind all the way to last January? 11?
Yeah.
Basically 12 months ago at this point?
Yeah, I think we do. We start out with the article. One of the first things on the article that we all saw, it was a campaign promise, but this one actually happened January quite a while ago, as we saw the Jan 6 riots. Hey, why are you guys still talking about that? That happened a month ago. Well, we're still talking about it today because, well, it was fucking crazy. But also, we saw President Trump keep a campaign promise with pardoning all the J6 hostages, as he called them, which was completely outrageous.
Yeah. And can I first of all point out that 1 year ago right now, there was a President Biden?
It seems like eons, dude. Right? That doesn't make sense in compute. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so January 20th, Trump gets into office. And yeah, one of the first things he does is pardon the rioters. And I got to tell you, on one level, I'm mildly impressed with their attempts to rewrite history. Because when we all watched the J6 riots, I mean, we were aghast. I mean, what the fuck is going on? I mean, they're taking over the capitals. And somehow now they've, not that we're all buying it, but have made this weird attempt to paint this as just, you know, a thing. It was a protest.
Dude, they were letting them in, Steve, for tours. You know, it was just a mild tour. There was just a couple of bad ones, you know, to spoil the bunch, apparently. But we saw, President Trump said, hey, I'm going to pardon these people. And he went, I didn't think he was going to go through with it, to be honest with you, when he was saying it, because it was so outlandish and crazy that a president would ever do that.
Yeah.
But he did. And this clip will highlight that, but also show where some of those people are now. Okay.
It's been exactly 300 days since Trump issued a mass pardon for over 1,500 people who stormed the Capitol on January 6th. We were wondering around here, what happened? Where are they now? Well, let's start with a militia member who was actively texting members in an Oath Keepers group chat who called himself, and I am not making this up, a member of the Curb Stomp crew, and who is now the lucky recipient of not just one, but two presidential pardons.
Wow.
President Trump pardoned this man, Dan Wilson, on Friday for owning unauthorized firearms after he had already been pardoned last year for felony conspiracy charges during January 6th. Wilson joins a growing list of January 6th defendants who have new or resurfaced legal troubles, like this man, Zachary Allum. He was sentenced to 8 years for assaulting police officers on January 6th before he demanded a pardon from Trump.
Yeah, a lot of people did demand, and they got what they wanted. And you're seeing that people are now committing crimes. That guy was in for home invasion, for crying out loud.
Yeah. No, I mean, we have seen multiple people go back to prison or be rearrested or whatever. And it's almost as if criminals are supporting the MAGA world. It's almost as if those people were criminals.
Yeah. Yeah. They were. And I think somebody's murdered that got pardoned for J6. I mean, there's been a ton of people that have reoffended and gone back to jail very quickly. But hey, dude, they were hostages. They were patriots, for crying out loud.
There was a guy in Texas that I did a story on that he was up on Texas state charges, then got arrested federally for the January 6th stuff. He got pardoned, and because of time served and the federal pardon, he essentially got out of his Texas state crimes. And that was for underage solicitation. It was a undercover FBI agent, but he thought he was soliciting a 14-year-old girl. And because Trump gave him this blanket pardon instead of a very narrow one, he got off for child sex crimes. And we've seen multiple, you know, pedo child sex crime people from the J6 type. So brilliant, brilliant work, President.
Yes, and you know, we know that all the patriots out there are really upset by the Epstein list, and but when it comes to other child sex crimes, like, it doesn't matter so much, you know.
Right. And also, Trump, right after the J6 stuff, he did the executive order claiming an end to federal censorship. Which is ironic, considering that he shit all over the First Amendment throughout the year. Jimmy Kimmel going after Stephen Colbert, railing on SNL. He's been talking about taking broadcast licenses away from NBC and ABC. Yet he put an end to federal censorship.
An end to it, dude. Like, he puts an end to a lot of different things. This clip will show that he not only put an end to it, but, hey, sometimes that's just not right. That's just not fair.
I will also sign an executive order to immediately stop all government censorship and bring back free speech to America.
When somebody is given 97% of the stories are bad about a person, that's no longer free speech. That's no longer, that's just cheating.
That's just cheating. Or maybe it's that 97% of the shit you do is terrible, and I would say that's an underestimate, you know.
Right. It goes back to this point, and I was just having this discussion with somebody. Is it biased if you tell the truth, you know?
Yeah.
Like Trump saying, all the coverage is negative. Well, most of what you're doing is negative, so I would not be surprised if most of the coverage is negative.
Yeah.
And what a pussy, by the way. I mean, presidents get picked on. Even the good ones get picked on. But Trump, despite his orange bronzer, is the most thin-skinned president we've ever had and can't put up with negative press. And again, making up numbers, by the way. 97%. Where'd he pull that from?
It's always a made-up number. But it's also really funny that some presidents wear all that shit as a badge of honor, like being made fun of on late-night TV. Like, some people dig into it rather than, you know, repel and be like, you bastard, you can't talk to me like that. You know, but that's
spot
not
on. It's part of the game. You and I get made fun of. You and I have people that hate on us. And I consider it, a bit of a badge of honor. If we're evoking a response out of somebody, that's a good thing, you know?
You're talking about me? Well, yeah, I must be doing something relevant. So, yeah,
exactly.
That's good.
So, yeah, pussy.
Yeah. Then we went down to him letting go the inspector general. I think that's the inspector generals. I think that was the next thing on our list, right?
Exactly. More than a dozen inspector generals were dismissed in a late-night purge that wiped out internal watchdogs, followed by the removal of the DOJ and FBI officials. And by the way, real quick, just to give him credit, Mediaite, Kobe Hall, put together a lot of this list. So that's where we're pulling it from. But yeah, I mean, what does that tell you when the first thing a president does is get rid of all the people that are the watchdogs?
Yeah. I mean, that's all part of Project 2025 that he apparently knew nothing about. But yeah, it's all part of the plan, for crying out loud.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I got a little clip on that. Let's see.
I want to talk about inspectors general before we get to the unmasking memo. When President Obama was in office, you and I would talk a lot about inspectors general. President Trump has now gotten rid of four inspectors general in one capacity or another, including on Friday, the State Department inspector general. Senator Romney called this, quote, a threat to accountable democracy and said it, quote, chills the independence essential to their purpose. What's your response? I remember you being a real advocate for inspectors general, and independent inspectors general when President Obama was in office.
I am an advocate for inspector generals, and as the chairman of the General Oversight Committee of the United States Senate, we rely on an awful lot of their work. I think their independence needs to remain within their agencies.
Right. Yeah, until he fires everyone in the agency and replaces them with a bunch of sycophants. I mean,
exactly. Yeah.
And that's a great example of the senators and the congressmen and women just bending over for this guy. You know, to fast forward to right now, Marjorie Taylor Greene was just saying that Mike Johnson is not the Speaker of the House, that Donald Trump is, that Mike Johnson is just a little puppet, and she is spot on correct, and put that on the list of things I never thought I'd say a year ago. But she is.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, I saw a little, everyone's kind of doing some end of the year type stuff, but it was just a clip of Mike Johnson. Anytime he's asked about something that is outrageous, he always has the answer of, you know, I haven't read up on that. I hadn't heard about that yet. I wouldn't want to make a comment without really diving into that. And right. That's exactly what Mikey Johnson does. He's just a puppet, for sure.
For sure. Trump Reaper, who chimes in occasionally here, Trump will never be held accountable. And you're mainly correct as far as his immunity goes and as far as anyone around him goes. But there's two options to hold him accountable coming our way. The midterm elections.
Yeah,
we can freeze his agenda, make him a lame duck, potentially impeach him again. But there's one that's going to hold him accountable probably before that. And speaking of the Reaper, that's what I'm talking about.
You're talking about death.
I'm talking about hope in the form of bruised hands and whatever the hell that's causing.
Yeah. Well, he shakes a lot of hands, remember?
Apparently with both hands, because now this week we saw the bruises on both hands. And if you zoom in on one of the hands, you can see a little puncture mark right in the middle of one of those bruises. So, you know, obviously it's not from him shaking too many hands. The man is dying. And I read another story today that a bunch of, you know, GOPers behind the scenes are all waiting for basically Trump to either quit or die. That they're sick of him, too, but they know they can't do anything. So let the man die or resign.
I don't understand that they can't do anything, dude. It takes away, it takes away their power. The government, they have power, dude. They don't have to align with this guy on everything. They just, there's so many people that think they're going to lose their careers if they don't back this bastard with every sick idea that he has. Yeah. I say, hey, all of you, get together. Throw this guy out, dude. Be done with him.
Exactly. As we've said many times this year, when one person does it, a Marjorie Taylor Greene, any of these one-offs, you're standing there alone. There needs to be a little coalition. And it's unfortunate the Founding Fathers didn't create three equal branches of government. That would have been a good idea so that there could be some checks and balances. You know?
Why didn't anyone think of that? Hey, dude, if we go back to a time where long ago, I guess this was still in January, there was a thing being thrown around called Doge. Do you remember it?
I remember it not fondly whatsoever.
Yeah, what a crazy time that was. Of course, there's a lot of video out there of, Elon Musk on stage with chainsaws and everything else. Like, what a fun time for him to really get the crowd hyped up on saving our country a lot of money. That's all he was going to do, dude. He was going to take a lot of these 19, 20-year-old kids that he had hired. Big Balls, I think, was one of them. Yeah. And save the country a lot of money. We'll see how that went with Doge.
The goal may have been to reduce federal spending by $1 trillion, but now a new report says that federal spending didn't go down under Doge. It actually went up. According to the New York Times, many of the items that Doge claimed it saved the most on turned out to be wrong. Quote, of the 40 biggest claims on Doge's list, the Times found only 12 that appeared accurate, reflecting real reductions in what the government had committed to spend. The Times notes, quote, while the group did make thousands of smaller cuts, jolting foreign aid recipients, American small businesses, and local service providers, those amounted to little in the scale of the federal budget. The Times reports that a White House spokesman declined to answer specific questions about Doge's work, instead sending this statement, quote, President Trump pledged to cut the waste, fraud, and abuse in our bloated government.
It's what he did commit to. I just don't think that it happened.
So I think first of all, you talk about saving money for the children or whatever. Elon Musk helped to kill 400,000 kids this year.
How did he do that?
Well, the cuts to foreign aid, you know, I mean, we covered this story a week or two back, that the cuts to foreign aid have led to 600,000 deaths around the world, mainly in third world countries. And 2/3 of those, roughly 400,000, are children.
Yeah.
And that saved us $12 billion this year. Meanwhile, we gave away $20 billion to Argentina. We have blown billions on, you know, Trump's lavish trips, the golf outings. I mean, all of this crap adds up to way, way more than we saved with Doge's cuts. But, you know,
Let's not even forget, recently, Trump spent months fucking the farmers only to jump in as the hero and save the farmers with our tax dollars.
Exactly. The tariffs screwed the farmers, and then he gave them the tariff money to help bail them out. Although even those farmers were saying, this is about a $20 billion problem. Trump gave them $12 billion. I'm not good at math, but that's about $8 billion shy what they would need. And, you know, most of these farmers are Trump supporters, MAGA lovers, and, you know, bemoan socialism and government handouts. But I'm sure none of them are tearing up these checks at a protest.
No, they were all in line, said that we need it. We need it to continue to feed America. And there is truth to that. But it wouldn't have been in that predicament without these tariffs. The tariffs were crazy. And that's in here on the list as well. But
I do want to point out one thing, though, with Elon Musk, and that is what we always talk about here, getting vocal, putting the spotlight on these people. They do bend to public pressure. They don't like being unpopular. They don't like when the cool kids, you know, go after them. And so Elon Musk thought he was invincible. He thought he could run out there with his chainsaw while he's all hopped up on ketamine and be the, you know, the financial Grim Reaper. But, you know, Tesla sales plunged. Teslas were getting torched in lots. And then all of a sudden he thought, maybe politics is not where I should be.
Yeah, you think? I mean, and it was a little late for that. But, you know, he's going to bounce back just fine, still living as a very wealthy man. Right?
I wonder. I mean, I know he's doing well, but I would be amazed if Tesla actually did recover fully, because his target audience has always been us, the progressives, the liberals that would want an electric vehicle. And that's the audience he pissed off the most. So I don't know. I mean, I know they offered him this $1 trillion package or whatever, but fuck that guy and fuck any progressive or liberal that would still support a Tesla.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because some of that technology is obviously some things that we still want now. But, you know, you see bumper stickers on Teslas nowadays that, like, I bought this before I knew, you know.
Yeah.
People don't want to be associated with Elon Musk and who he is as a person. That is a difference between us libs and this MAGA crowd. Is like, yeah, we do want to stand up for what is right, and we won't just continue to back you financially because we love your product.
Totally. I saw a funny report a week ago that Tesla had some lot with like 2,000 Cybertrucks just sitting there. And so Elon Musk bought them for the Starlink company, for his own company.
Jeez, dude.
It's like when Don Jr.'s book came out and he bought like 5,000 copies to help bump him up on the list, you know?
So crazy, dude. It's so nuts. When we saw that Doge wasn't working, we also thought, oh, is Elon Musk, we were calling him President Musk for a while because he had that much power and influence over what Trump was doing. This next video will highlight that, but also it talks about, you know, when Trump continues to say that the 2020 election was taken away from him and all of these MAGA people continue to dive into these conspiracies. Well, there were conspiracies of what Musk actually did in Pennsylvania with some of his work. I mean, he was caught, you know, offering people $1 million checks to come to their side, different bribes. And in this clip alone, Trump highlights something that a lot of us have had questions about. But because we don't have proof, we don't go and talk about it all the time.
And then he journeyed to Pennsylvania, where he spent like a month and a half campaigning for me in Pennsylvania. And he's a popular guy, and he was very effective. And he knows those computers better than anybody, all those computers, those vote counting computers. And we ended up winning Pennsylvania like in a landslide. So it was pretty good. It was pretty good. So thank you to Elon.
Yeah, he won Pennsylvania by the skin of his ear.
Yeah, the skin of his ear, and we still don't even know that that was all true and correct.
It wasn't. I mean, come on.
But we don't talk about it a lot because, well, I mean, we can't do anything about it. We're not conspiracy theorists. We'd like to have some proof before we go talk about stuff. But if you have any brain cells, then you know that that was all faked.
I mean, an ear does not survive that well and regrow that quickly. So, yeah, you know, I do think Trump murdered two people for a publicity stunt there. But I digress. So,
all right.
Boy, I feel like we got to start fast forwarding. We're still in January of last year.
I know, dude. Yeah, we can start fast forwarding.
Trump renamed the Gulf of Mexico Gulf of America last January. That's a fun highlight.
Yeah, and with that came a lot of issues, because when a president just wants to rename a body of water the Gulf of America, and people like the Associated Press don't want to go along with that, well, that's when we saw President Trump just starting to boot media out of the press. He wasn't going to take questions from them anymore.
Yes, and I believe that rolls us into February there. So, yeah, he did the whole Gulf of Mexico change, which, like we've said, it's still the Gulf of Mexico. It's still the Department of Defense. It's still the Kennedy Center. Like, it just because he deems it to be so does not make any of it so. I know the MAGA people don't believe that, but it's true.
No, but we always do like to highlight the fact that it doesn't bother them to change names when it comes to shit like that. But when it comes to addressing somebody by the pronoun they'd like to be addressed by, that's a huge fucking problem.
Exactly. Spot on. So also in February, an issue first started that is literally has come up again this week. Trump first brought up the takeover of Gaza. When his buddy Netanyahu blew it to living shit, he started saying that this is a good opportunity to build some luxury condos and hotels. And that issue bounced around all year. But again, Trump just this week said this is a good opportunity. Half the people there in a survey said they would like to leave. Yeah, because you guys blew the shit out of it. Of course they want to leave.
Yeah, of course they do. And remember this video that we all woke up to one morning and thought, we cannot be living in fucking reality here.
Tunnels come and to set you free, bringing the light for all to see. No more tunnels, no more fear. Trump Gaza is finally here. Trump Gaza shining bright. Future, a brand new life. Feast and dance, the deal is done. Trump Gaza, number one. Trump Gaza, shining bright. Golden future, a brand new life. Feast and dance, the deal is done. Trump Gaza, number one.
Wow.
Number one, dude.
Exactly.
Come on.
I actually never saw that video, so that's fun.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Trump Gaza, built on the bodies of countless people. So,
yeah.
Awesome. What else do we have? Last February, he barred the Associated Press. Oh, last February, this is fun. This is when Pam Bondi first brought up the fact that the Epstein files were sitting on my desk.
Yes,
ready
dude.
To go. They sitting wanted to release them, apparently.
Everyone was excited about this, dude. This is so funny to see her in real time come up with this lie about the
DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump. I'm reviewing that. I'm reviewing JFK files, MLK files. That's all in the process of being reviewed because that was done at the directive of the president from all of these agencies.
So have you seen anything that you said, oh, my gosh?
Not yet.
Wow.
Not yet.
How far we have come, sitting on my desk, and then as we'll get into, then they start saying, like, no, they don't even exist.
You know? Yeah, that was never true. She had nothing on her desk. This is all a Democratic hoax. I had no files on my desk.
Right. And then they did, after that thing, they did that little mega influencer event where they invited the Laura Loomers and all of those of the mega world, and they all came out with their binders full of Epstein file stuff that they were all excited about until they went home and read it all and realized it was all a bunch of shit we've already seen, which pissed everyone off even more.
Yeah. No, this whole, the way Epstein's obviously been handled is freaking crazy, and it still is. I mean, we're still dealing with that on a daily basis, and the stuff that they're releasing now, the only good stuff we're getting is because of their failures to properly redact things.
Right, know? Absolutely. The war in Ukraine, that's been over for like a year now, right? Because he promised he'd done that on day one.
Yeah, that was incredible, dude. That you know, he may even have that done before he entered the White House was a campaign promise. Like, this is an easy one, a war that never would have happened. And obviously, now he's saying, I've ended 8 wars. This one is just a little bit tougher. But the clip I pulled for this one, dude, was a shocking thing for us all to see when President Zelensky was attacked in the Oval Office. Do you remember it?
Oh, yeah. It's embarrassing for everyone involved. I mean, taking diplomacy to a new low. I wouldn't even treat a coworker that way, a subordinate, let alone the leader of a country that's being invaded by, you know, Trump's butt buddy.
Yeah. People are dying. He's in war. You know, we'll play the clip here. When I watched this morning, I was like, hey, yeah, I remembered that happened, but I didn't remember how bad that it actually was.
Embarrassing, yes.
You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country, that's backed you far more than a lot of people said they should have.
Have you said thank you once? This entire meeting? No, in this entire meeting, have you said thank you? You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
Please, you think that if you will speak very loudly about the war, you
can... He's not speaking loudly. He's not speaking loudly. Your country is in big trouble.
Can I answer?
Wait a minute. No, no. You've done a lot of talking. Your country is in big trouble.
I know.
You're not winning. You're not winning this. You have a damn good chance of coming out okay because of us.
Mr. President, we are staying in our country, staying strong from the very beginning of the war. We've been alone.
God. Yeah. It enrages me to see that even again. I know it's not new, but that is just so enraging.
And do you remember, I mean, as they went on, they started talking about the way he looked and the way he was dressed and how disrespectful that was. Like,
yes,
geez.
They were invaded, countrymen dying, being besieged. And this whole, like, you know, you're in a weak bargaining position. Like, yeah, he is, because he's the little guy being picked on by Russia, who clearly has their hand shoved up Trump's puppet hole.
Yeah. Have you seen, I mean, just as we fast forward, like you said, we're still into this, obviously, but just 2 days ago, Trump talked to Putin on the phone and was attacked. And he said, oh, you know, I think actually Putin really wants to do a lot of good for the Ukrainian people.
Yes.
And Zelensky's sitting there like, what are you talking about, dude? It's at war with them right now. He's killing us.
It's insane. Yeah, Putin wants to see Ukraine do well. And he said that Putin would help rebuild the Ukraine and sell them gas and oil cheap. Like, yeah. Putin has never said anything like that. And if he wanted them to succeed, he would stop the war. Yeah, Trump tries to pretend like it's a two-sided war. One is just defending themselves. And as we have said too many times in the last year, like, you know, Texas used to be part of Mexico. So if Mexico invaded America, no one would say, just give them Texas. You know, let's compromise.
Just a little chunk. Come on.
Right. Yeah. Oh, epically embarrassing.
Yeah.
As we roll into March, continuing to be embarrassing, this is when we first started the talk of our friends up north, Canada, becoming the 51st state. Why don't you just let us take you over?
Yeah, and this was all initially based on tariff talk, right? You know, hey, I told him, you know, you can get this all for free if you just become 51. Just become 51, you'll get it all for free. Canada wants nothing to fucking do with the United States of America right now.
No.
What a crazy thing to say.
They call us the shit show down below. And Canadian tourism has fallen off a cliff. And so is the whiskey industry. They have stopped buying American whiskey up there, which used to be a major market. And most of those whiskey manufacturers are in places like Kentucky that, they're getting screwed by all of this, you know, tariff bullshit as well. So Careful what you ask for. Careful what you vote for. You just might get it.
You just might get it. And speaking of tariffs, we walk then into Liberation Day. Remember Liberation Day?
Oh, all too well. That gets us into April. So, yeah, Liberation Day. You got any video on that one?
This is one of the most important days, in my opinion, in American history. It's our Declaration of Economic Independence. For years, hardworking American citizens were forced to sit on the sidelines as other nations got rich and powerful, much of it at our expense. But now it's our turn to prosper and in so doing use trillions and trillions of dollars to reduce our taxes and pay down our national debt, and it'll all happen very quickly. With today's action, we are finally going to be able to make America great again, greater than ever before.
Mm. Yeah, right. I appreciate Zane, by the way, clearly Canadian, chiming in. He says, we don't hate you, our besties. We hate who you voted for. And seriously, to Canada and the rest of the world, like, we're embarrassed by this, too. This is something we just got to get over and get through. We have completely given up our, moniker as the greatest country in the world. And so bear with us. We're going to try to get through this as well.
And remember, we didn't all vote for him.
Exactly. 49% of us are idiots. 48.5% of us tried to do the right thing.
That's right.
This is also in April. We had some weak job numbers come out that Trump decided to declare as being rigged. So he fired the Bureau of Labor Statistics commissioner. He fired the guy that put out the numbers because they made Trump look bad.
Yeah, that was insane that he basically just said, like, oh, hey, you know what? When a number's bad, I can just say those are fake, too.
Yes.
I mean, he did that with COVID, but we had never seen anything like that with the job reports or unemployment numbers or anything like that. But, yep, no. He took it on.
And we're still seeing it now, some of these job numbers that have come out since the shutdown. They're cherry-picking. They're taking out certain categories to make them look better. And it's, it's obviously ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
File it under if Obama did it, Mega World would be freaking out. So,
yeah.
Also, just real quick, back in April, that is when a scrutiny resurfaced around Trump-linked crypto ventures and meme coin fundraising schemes that blurred the political support with speculative investment, reviving questions about foreign money. Which has just gotten significantly worse ever since then. The Trump family has made $4 billion this year.
Yeah.
And most of it is from crypto.
Yeah. And I can't remember the guy's name, but he was a crypto scammer. He's another guy Trump decided to pardon and knew very little about, but people told him he was treated very unfairly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have now seen, with the benefit of time, Trump has pardoned roughly around 2,000 people, and most presidents in their entire 8 years would pardon 100 to 200 people. And I think it was Washington Post that did a great piece about the fact that most of these people that have gotten pardons have given Trump anywhere from $1 to $6 million. He appears to just be selling pardons, which is why I actually believe him when he says, I don't know who that guy was. I don't know much about him.
Yeah, it's, he's always talking about the auto pen, and I think, if any of that auto pen shit is true, which I don't believe it is, you're doing the same thing with, I don't know anything about this person, I was just told it would be a good move for me to pardon him,
Yeah, no, garbage. All right, rolling into May, let's see here. Oh, this is a topic you and I kind of disagreed on, but into May, he opened by cutting federal funding for NPR and for PBS. Now, he did it for immoral reasons, saying they had, ideological hostility towards him, part of the liberal, fake news media. So he decided to stick it to them. Now, my beef with NPR was never their fact reporting. NPR does great news. They're a very unbiased outlet. They rank consistently in the top five for unbiased news sources. And I know a lot of people enjoy them. My beef with them was from a purely media standpoint. Having worked in radio for almost 30 years, owned two radio stations for 10 years, I was like, sell sponsorships. NPR is huge. They're the top station in most major markets. Like, you people can survive. Go get a sales team, sell some commercials. Like, you'll be fine. But, Trump obviously did it to screw over somebody he thought was an enemy.
That's how they remain unbiased, though, Steve.
It's not. I know you said that, but so what if Toyota runs ads or Budweiser? You think they're skewing their news towards Toyota for some reason? Like, I don't get that angle.
Anytime you get a large amount of money from someone, you're playing the game.
Well, okay, you're 5% right. I will say,
5%.
Yeah, that's more than I gave you last year when we talked about this. Listen, yeah. I will tell you that, you know, at the radio stations in a small town, if some business got themselves in trouble and they were an advertiser, you know, maybe I wouldn't jump all over the story. Small town, these people are helping support us. If it was bad enough, then yes, of course. But I seriously doubt NPR is going to bend to who? To Disney? To Toyota? I don't know.
You can, doesn't matter. I mean, if they have to start selling ads and somebody like a Disney comes and says, you know what, if you can declare to us that you'll run 40% less harmful articles about Trump, then we'll give you $5 million contract.
Well, that would be overt pay-for-play. I mean, no.
But it happens. You know, we're seeing it happen with Trump every single day. And now all I'm saying is with NPR... You're seeing it start in a lot of different places in America. We find so much corruption with all of this bullshit that with NPR, when you're just listener supported, then you don't have, no one owns you.
Well, listen, they still sell sponsorships. You know, segments are still brought to you by the Heritage Foundation or, you know, not them, but you know what I mean? Like, they still have sponsorships going on. And Toyota would, no. Advertisers ever going to overtly come to you like that. There's a suggested pressure, but I'm just saying NPR is successful. They can do fine without it. That doesn't mean I support what Trump did. Okay.
All right. Well, any final statements?
All right, Nick, you're brilliant. I'm wrong. All right, someone mark it down. I was wrong.
Okay.
Notice my mouth did not move during that entire thing. A few days after the NPR battle, though, Trump did file those lawsuits against ABC and CBS over coverage that he labeled defamatory, unfair, mean people. And those idiots, of course, bent the knee, which has caused a ripple effect of problems.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
And that's the core problem.
Yes. This is also, where are we, in May still? Yeah, May is when he amped up all of the immigration, enforcements in blue cities. Only blue cities, though.
Only blue cities. You had to start there. Any sanctuary city, we're going to start there. And as soon as they started sending ICE out, we saw the videos on a daily basis of shit that was happening that shouldn't have been happening. But these were all promises made, promises kept for Trump.
Yeah. And we've seen it obviously continue, but we have read reports recently that they're starting to realize that ICE is not making them look good. And as we mentioned earlier, they do bow to public pressure, but I haven't seen ICE really turn a page in any noticeable way. So,
no, I saw an article this morning, and I didn't read it, so forgive me, but the headline of it was talking about a police officer was just killed by an ICE agent.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I mean, we've seen a lot of cops this year actually get pissed off at ICE as well. So,
yeah,
you know, I get it. Just to wrap up May real quick, unless you have any videos to play. May is when the DOJ started trying to go after mailing abortion medication through the mail. They wanted to prosecute people that mailed it. And legal scholars warned of looming constitutional crises as Trump pressed the Justice Department to pursue perceived political enemies, something that we now know was not even overtly camouflaged. He was overtly telling people to go after his enemies.
Yes, yeah. That's something that he hasn't ever stopped. I mean, that's, like we said, he says the quiet part out loud all the time, and we think that's how he gets away with it. But.
Yeah, exactly. So rolling into June, first time we attacked another country, that's when we bombed Iran.
Yeah, and it looks like that could be rearing its ugly head once again, as threats were made just a couple of days ago.
Well, and we learned this week we officially bombed Venezuela. I mean, it was drones, but we still sent drones in there and blew up what they say was a drug factory with, again, no proof, evidence, or anything else.
that they say they have, but they still refuse to show it to us. So, yeah.
Right. And Trump announced it on a freaking podcast, not to diminish the power of podcasts or anything, but, you know, like, he sort of casually mentioned, yeah, we invaded Venezuela. I mean, I don't know what else to call it when you send in bombs, whether they're on drones or not.
Yeah. Yeah, everything else is, up to this point, had been done in international waters. All of that was murder and sketchy, but now we've taken out a structure on land. And, yeah, I can't think that this ends without a war.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've been talking for months. That's what this is all about. He's going after the oil, and you're right. You know, these boats are all at least in international waters, but now he's actually attacked in Venezuela there, so that's fun. Also in June, as you and I were sitting on a beach in Greece, we sent the troops into Los Angeles, because why not invade our own country, too?
Well, because Gavin Newsom is there, dude. We got to make a stand, damn
right.
It.
So that was fun. That was fun watching from abroad. Let's see. Also last June, Trump's birthday, the big military parade. Remember that debacle?
I remember the fizzled out debacle, yes. I mean, what an embarrassment that was to begin with. But once we got it on camera, what an embarrassing little stunt that was.
Yeah, and again, any of these public spectacles that Trump does, much like when he just hosted the Kennedy Center Awards, you know, which was televised, it got all-time low ratings, which hurts that man. And to do a big public display for your birthday and to have it fizzle out and no one attend, the bleachers were empty, it became a punchline, a laughing stock. Like, you know, careful what you wish for, dumbass.
And that was all in the wake of, I mean, Doge was still pressing on at that point, and we were trying to save money, and I forget how many millions this cost to put on this little parade and party. But he also said, I'm going to take tanks down the street, and it will probably ruin the streets, and all that will have to be redone for Washington, D.C. It's all about him.
Again, yes. Spending millions. I can't remember the exact number. I want to say it was like 40 or 50 million or something. But again, we're cutting off aid to foreign countries, but throwing a dictator style parade in the streets of D.C. that no one wanted, no one asked for, and no one showed up to.
It was so embarrassing, dude.
Yeah. All right. So then rolling into July last year, let's see, early in the month, the Justice Department and FBI issued a formal statement declaring there was no Epstein client list, no blackmail network, and no additional evidence was to be released. You already have it all. So they said enough already. There is no Epstein thing.
Yeah. And what we do have is all about victims. So there's nothing for you guys to see here.
Right.
Nothing happened.
Did that work for him? Did we all stop talking about it?
No. And that's one thing. You know what? I'm proud. I'm proud of the vocal minority who has stayed loud on this, because with all the stuff we're reading, everything that goes on a daily basis here, it is easy to lose the shit in the minutia, but no one has remained quiet about the Epstein files.
Exactly. And speaking of the vocal minority in the comments section today, I love that we have a well-informed audience, because nobody's sitting here going like, what? I didn't hear that. Like, everyone knows exactly what it was. They're chiming in with their own comments and their memories of it all. California makes me feel safe from afar, talking about the tanks rolling down the street. Like, it's good. It's good, people. I'm glad everyone's paying attention, because that's what we absolutely have to keep doing.
100%.
So let's see. Also last July, immigration enforcement continued. The inevitable. That's right. The Elon Musk Trump, you know, fallout. The bromance was over. This was when Musk claimed that Trump was in the Epstein files, which, you know, we know now is true. And they had their big falling out. The bromance was at least temporarily over.
Yeah, I don't know how they've ever moved on from that, but somebody told Elon Musk to get in line, because it was only for a day or two that, you know, that lived. And then he was like, well, you know, we were just angry. And even Trump didn't go after him immediately. Yeah, that was an awkward little dance they were playing.
It was an interesting power struggle. The world's richest man versus the world's, quote unquote, you know, most powerful man, the president. And yeah, I don't think either of them actually wanted to blow that up. But they got in a little girl hair pulling fight. And that was, of course, fun for us all to watch.
Yeah.
So that's July. Am I rolling past any videos or can I keep on going?
No, you can keep going. We're done.
Okay. So into August. Let's see. This, again, feels like forever ago, but this is when Trump hosted Putin for the summit in Alaska where he literally rolled out the red carpet.
Yes. And it was a meeting of the two and, you know, the most legendary pictures ever taken in this country of them meeting and walking together like they were going to prom. You know, it was really sick.
Yes, it was. And from this big historic summit where we invited Putin to America, and Putin can't go to most other countries, by the way, because there's an arrest warrant out for him from the international courts. Let's see, it produced no agreements, no ceasefire, and no timetable for anything. It did nothing.
No, it was just a red carpet show.
Right. And then simultaneously, basically back in Washington, D.C., we paved over the Rose Garden, the first of what would be many renovations, quote unquote, to the White House.
Yeah. No, we've seen a lot, and yeah, it did start with the Rose Garden. We've moved on to the big, beautiful ballroom that's coming our way. But aside from that, I mean, don't forget about the Oval Office being filled with Hobby Lobby, Home Depot, gold. And also, from what Trump thinks, sat nicely and neatly underneath a curtain, the original copy of the Constitution,
right,
or the Declaration of Independence.
Either one, he's never read them, so it really doesn't matter.
Yes.
You know, I am so sick of hearing people say that Trump is a big defender of the Constitution. Well, eviscerating the First Amendment, you know, I mean, the list goes on and on. The
he's also a huge Christian, Steve.
Oh, of course, of course. Yeah. The birthright citizenship thing was coming and going on throughout the year as well. So, all right, so rolling into September, two significant things happened in September.
Okay.
First of all, the admission of guilt that we have talked about. This is when the Epstein family released the infamous birthday book that had Trump's birthday card in there of the naked girl, not a naked woman.
Young girl.
Yes. And Trump vehemently denied it and still has because he goddamn knows it's an admission that he knew what Epstein was up to.
Yeah.
Now, whether Trump was participating or not, that's yet to be proved. But it certainly seems like he knew what his BFF forever was up to. And that makes you, I don't know, just as guilty, if you ask me.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you have the power to stop something egregious like that and you remain quiet, well, then you're complicit in it all. And I think you're guilty, too.
Yes. And as we actually, I think it was just in the news today, so Marjorie Taylor Greene finally said what Trump screamed at her a month back when this divorce between those two started happening and Trump called her. And she said a month ago or whatever it was, maybe 2 months, that Trump was mad about the Epstein files. But he apparently screamed at her so loud that everyone in the room heard, "You're going to hurt my friends."
You're going to hurt my friends is exactly what he said. And that's crazy. When I heard that the first time, I thought, who are your friends? You know, he was worried about him being hurt in the end, you know, because once we see his friends start to go down, it's only a matter of time that they all say, oh, I'd like a smaller sentence. I've got a lot on the big guy, you know.
For sure. I'm sure that was a big part of it. But even if you just take it at its face value, no mention of, you know, the victims, any of that stuff, he's worried about his friends who were palling around with the pedo or who were pedos themselves. He's not worried about justice. He's not worried about victims. He's worried about his billionaire buddies looking bad. And again, that's just as shady as being part of it.
We've also heard him say, like in the last week and a half, that he doesn't like to see those pictures of Bill Clinton in the Epstein files come out. Like he did, it hurts him to see those. He doesn't like that. So it's, I think it's that way with all of anyone that he, you know, was in the club with. He doesn't want to see him on there for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And like Catherine said, because he is a pedo. Look at all those incredibly sexually posed photos with a young Ivanka. I mean, you're not wrong at all. Again, I don't know, if, you know, connecting the dots per se. But yeah, I mean, all of the comments he made about all of his young, you know, female daughters were insane. I'm a dad. I have a daughter. I would never in a zillion years say, yeah, I'd be dating my daughter. Look how good looking she is. Come sit on my lap. I wonder when my baby gets bigger if she's going to have big these as he did. on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
What like, are we talking about?
Right.
Dude?
No normal person does that.
No.
Also back in September, the shot heard around the world. The assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Assassination of Charlie Kirk. I remember where I was the day Charlie Kirk got assassinated. Of course, it was an assassination that we saw, up close and personal.
When Hell
I,
yeah.
We all remember watching the video, if you watched it.
Right.
It's something you'll never get out of your mind. But there's a lot of stuff still circling around that whole thing, too, wondering if it was an actual assassination by the guy that they've got in custody.
Yeah, I mean, I know Candace Owens is all over that, but as with all of these assassination attempts, or the actual executions there, we don't ever hear much after the initial news cycle has come and gone. So
right.
I don't know what's going on with that, but I do remember the morning very well. I was working on videos for Really American, and we were all in the group chat, you know, as we always discuss what stories we're working on. And I think Tony was the first one. I was like, holy shit, like Charlie Kirk just got shot. And then somebody posted the video, the infamous video, where you can actually see it. And yeah. I was the first one to reply, like, there is no way he is surviving that. Like, a shot to the neck like that with all the blood. And, you know, obviously within an hour, we all learned that was true. And then the fallout began, where none of us were allowed to quote Charlie Kirk and make any level of jokes or whatever. Like, again, the ending of federal censorship that Trump signed back in January. Now we have people all over the country getting either blacklisted or losing jobs because they simply requoted Charlie Kirk on, you know, gun control and, you know, you got to have some public shootings to have the Second Amendment. Like, all of a sudden that became a no-no.
Yeah, that's taboo. We're not allowed to be so insensitive. The guy was just murdered, for crying out loud. Let the body get cold.
Right. And then at his memorial, his wife, you know, famously said that she forgave the shooter. And Trump came out and said, I don't forgive him, and I hate all of my opponents.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Comparing the two.
Right.
Yeah. And then we just saw at AmFest, the Turning Point, you know, Super Bowl, that they recreated where Charlie Kirk was assassinated, the tent, and they had, like, selfie lights in it and shit.
It was a selfie tent, yeah. People were taking selfies in the Charlie Kirk tent. Prove me wrong. Prove you all to be a bunch of sick motherfuckers. That's what it proved.
Yeah, the Trump Reaper. Compare Trump's gunshot wound to Charlie Kirk's. Yeah, there is no comparison because Trump didn't get shot.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, so that continues on. Rolling into October, because we're running out of time here. Let's see. The White House confirmed that demolition had begun on portions of the East Wing to make room for, at the time, a tiny $200 million ballroom that we now know is a $400 million plus gigantic ballroom.
But no taxpayer money will be spent. It's all donors.
All bribes. Yeah. It's not going to cost you anything.
Yeah. Right.
Granted, we could raise $400 million and give it to homeless vets, but we're going to do it to build a giant, stupid ballroom. Because it's not that the White House didn't have a ballroom. It was just too small, you know?
Steve, everyone's wanted this for 150 years.
Of course.
They've been asking for this ballroom. And the project's currently on hold because the original architect was fired by Donald Trump for not making it big enough.
Right. Yeah, no, that architect said, like, you can't dwarf the actual White House. Like, it's architecture 101. It's going to look terrible. So Trump fired the guy because he wants to dwarf everything and put his name on everything. And I guarantee you this is the beginning, just the beginning of the things that he's going to rebrand, rebuild. Yeah. Again, today I was reading about him wanting to demolish multiple federal buildings in D.C. Like, it's disgusting.
Yeah. Some of the folks on the chat, Steve, are including some of the smaller stuff that we're not even reporting on, but like selling Bibles is something that Trump did, selling cell phones, and Trump selling gold cards, you know, which is like a green card on steroids, you know, sneakers, whatever it may be. Trump has a merch tent in the Oval Office.
He does. And those mobile phones, by the way, are still not a real thing. No one has gotten the Trump mobile phone. It's hilarious.
For those
of you dumb enough to put your money down for that. Let's see. Also in October, he pardoned the Bitcoin guy, which just, you know, skyrocketed crypto all over the place that he's heavily intertwined in.
Yeah.
October. Now, this was a good month in some ways. I mean, that was the big No Kings protest. 7 million of us took to the streets.
Yeah. Yeah, what a showing, dude. And they were like, oh, what are you protesting? We don't have a king. Yeah, that's what we're protesting to make sure doesn't happen, because he's being treated as such.
Well, if it looks like a king and, you know, acts like a king, then it's a king. And that's when he, of course, released the infamous pooping on the protesters, you know, Top Gun thing, where he had a crown on and was pretending to be king. And
his
again, can't take criticism, so he decided to be as juvenile as possible and drop poopy on his, you know, detractors.
Yeah, Trump and the entire White House, you know, TikTok page and the entire cabinet is really leached on to all the AI bullshit, because, you know, we've seen so much AI stuff with Trump throughout this first year.
Yes.
That, you know, remember MedBeds, dude?
Yes. Yeah.
People thought MedBeds were a real thing.
Well, Trump reposted an AI video of himself talking about these elusive MedBeds that cure all ailments and stop aging. Trump reposted a fake video of himself. And I still wonder, did he not know that it was fake? Did he watch it and be like, well, I don't remember that, but that was a good speech I gave.
Or cool.
Yeah. And Dictionary's Word of the Year this year. Did you hear that came out in December here? The Word of the Year?
No, what was it?
Slop, which refers to AI slop, which is all of those videos. That's the new term for junk AI videos. It's just garbage. So slop. And it's because of Trump. That's why the word became that.
Quiet Piggy.
Exactly. I did see someone else mention Quiet Piggy on the list of lowlights this year and didn't make the official list. But yeah, that's certainly up there.
Yeah.
So getting into November, I mean, again, this all seems like ancient history, but no. The blue wave, the big the off-year elections that we kicked the living shit out of Trump world on, all up and down the ballots in states we never should have won, which gives us all a little bit of hope that we can do, you know, the same thing in another, you know, 10 months.
Yeah, we said don't take your foot off the gas, you know. Everyone was all excited about Mom Domini, and you know what? That's great. But, yeah, we hit blue in a lot of other areas that we didn't think we would, so that is good news.
Yep. Here's a good recap from Los Angeles, 6514. He's a racist, rapist, pedophile protector, schemer, hate is his only culture, and McDonald's.
And McDonald's. And McDonald's, yeah, with pickles.
Yes. And we also learned this year that Trump combines a Big Mac and a filet of fish into some weird Frankenstein terrible sandwich that he eats on his plane being delivered to him from McDonald's.
Infused with self-tanner. You know, he was tired of getting the spray tan done. So, yeah, right. His food is just now, you know, has the self-tanner in.
Exactly. Also in November, seems like ancient history, the government shutdown that Trump could have averted at any moment. And, of course, the Democrats famously bent over and let him get away with giving us nothing, including our premium spiking, which I looked into my ACA, health care for this year. My premiums went up by $200 a month.
Such bullshit, dude.
Yep.
I can't believe the Democrats folded on that after starving people for a month. You know, it's bullshit. And yeah, we're going to see a lot of people's premiums be unaffordable. Can you still afford it?
Exactly. November's also when we saw the escalation of all these drug smuggling boats kick into high gear. And this is when, we started to find out that, Hegseth and Trump committed murder by blowing up the two people.
Yeah.
And which led into the famous Mark Kelly and the other Democrats talking about ignoring or, illegal orders, which Trump tried to claim they were treasonous and seditious, even though he literally was giving illegal orders, we now know.
And he said they should be hung.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Let's hang the Democrats.
Yeah. So
good stuff.
There's that.
And then, you know, into the current events, just real quick, the Epstein file dump was this month, the Kennedy Center renaming, the Vanity Fair interview where Susie Wiles outed all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, I have such a long list just from this month alone. Barry Weiss over at 60 Minutes hitting the kill switch for Trump on the El Salvador story.
Came out anyway. Thank you to our neighbors up north.
Yeah. Oh, and then something we got to talk about, just to wrap it up, since it is the holidays. Christmas Eve, Trump taking phone calls from children And you tell me, what did he say to an 8-year-old girl?
As soon as this little 8-year-old girl on, you know, it was not a video phone. It was just, you know, they were on the phone. As soon as she started talking, he was like, oh, you sound so beautiful and cute. And he was like, how old are you? And she was like, 8.
Did he think that a 40-year-old had gotten patched in? Like, he knew he was talking to children. Why would you ever say something like that, especially amongst all of this Epstein stuff?
Have you ever in your life called a girl that's 8 years old or any age that's under 18, wow, you're beautiful and cute. You sound so beautiful and cute. How fucking creepy, dude.
No. You may say if a parent shows you a picture like, oh, you know, it's an adorable kid you have there or something. But yeah. I don't ever get down into the 8-year-old. Boy, you're really beautiful. How are you doing today?
Right. Can I get your digits? My gosh.
Right. Dude. I mean, Trump famously said once, you know, I'll be dating her in 10 years. To a 12-year-old at Trump Tower in New York City. So,
that's,
you know,
locker room talks.
Yeah, old habits die hard.
He also said to a kid on Christmas, he was like, you know, where are you with believing in Santa? And then, you know, people must have been looking at him like, dude, you're on a Santa line. Like, cut it off. And he's like, it's a very complex issue with to believe or to not believe.
Right. Like, so little kids are sitting there going, wait, there's a question about it?
Right.
Like, Santa's real. What do you mean there's a debate over it, Mr. President? It's a complicated issue. Everything else is simple. Tariffs, taxes, pardons. Santa. Those are simple issues, but not Santa.
It's complicated, guys. It's very complicated.
And yes, as Lynn here says, creepy as hell talking to an 8-year-old like that. Because again, Dementia Don can't control himself. Things just go flying out of his stupid orange pie hole, and he doesn't even realize how fucking creepy he is.
Yes, you sound beautiful and cute. How old are you? 8. Oh, goody.
Right. So there you go, everyone. That's the year. That is the 1 year we have been through. Actually, it's only 11 months that we have been through with Trump. So
yeah, and we steamed over some stuff.
We steamed over a lot.
There's so much more involved in this. So
yeah.
But it's enough to make anyone's head hurt and be like, this is fiction, dude.
Right. He's a dirty effing creep. Yes, Catherine, you're completely correct. So here's the question, though, Nick. A year from now, when we're doing the recap of 2026, are we going to talk about the Trump funeral mixed in there somewhere? Will we still have a President Trump? I predict no. I don't think he's going to make it one more year.
Oh, he's in your death pool as number one, you think?
I predicted several months ago that somewhere in 2026, that's my Deadpool for Trump. Of natural causes, Secret Service. I'm not threatening the man. I'm just saying that, yeah, I don't think he's making another full year.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, like, I had a great grandmother who was 99 years old. She smoked, she ate like shit, she drank, you know, all that stuff. And she said that, you know, this is what keeps me going. This is what keeps me alive. The hate, the vitriol, you know? So I don't know. I mean, is he too much of an asshat to die? I don't know. We'll see.
Well, if hate and ignorance keeps you along, alive longer, he's going to live to be 700. So,
yeah.
But no, sure. I predict at some point this year. I mean, the man is just falling apart. His cognitive decline is obvious. The health issues are obvious. The bruising, the weird thing in his pants or whatever, the shitting himself constantly. Like, not sure how much longer that can go on. Unless the med beds are real.
Yeah, and they're not. We know that. I forget the guy's name escapes me right now, but that guy who worked for The Apprentice who's come out and really talked a lot about Trump's past. Do you remember his name?
Mark something, the producer or the...
He's one of the guys, but I'm sorry I don't have his name. But he came out recently and just said, like, all the drugs that I watched with my own eyes Donald Trump do during the times of The Apprentice, and even before that, I can see different symptoms. When he sniffs a lot, it's the benzos, this, that, and the other thing. And he's like, I'm seeing more of it on a daily basis. So he still, as far as this guy talks about, is really drugging it up. So that'll kill him sooner, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Mooncast here is probably right. They'll pull a Weekend at Donnie's. I bet he will be dead for some amount of time. They won't even tell us. So,
yeah,
that's probably true. And
This is a good one. I was a nurse for 25 years. Evil never dies quickly. Yes, that's what I'm saying, dude.
The hell is up with that? Well, let's end with this comment from Queen Knight. Happy New Year, guys. I hope life improves for us all. Yeah, I hope it does too. And Happy New Year to everyone. And, again, it was a good year for us, as bad as it was for democracy and humanity. Like, we've had a lot to cover, and we truly appreciate everyone, you know, following along. It's been good.
Yeah, thank you for your support of the podcast and the channel, Really American. We'll continue to give you two podcasts each and every week right here on this platform, but go watch the other videos from a lot of other creators on our team that are working really hard each and every day, and we appreciate the support.
Absolutely. So, yeah, Happy New Year, and we'll keep the resistance going into 2026, so keep tuning in. Check out all the shows here on Really American. Definitely subscribe to the channel and go find our Substack page as well. And if you want to message Nick and I directly, go to thevocalminority.net.
And that'll do it for this one, guys, gals, and our non-binary pals. Good day.
And that'll do it for another edition of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for joining us on the Really American Media platform. Check out all our social media wherever good social media is found. Until next time, you tiny little bastards, good day.
Good day.
Good day, sir.